Today on Wings, the Mother's Day Bailout of 2018.
1, 2, 3, 4, open up the prison doors. 5, 6, 7, 8, we don't want a prison stay. 1, 2, 3, 4, open up the prison doors. 5, 6, 7, 8, we don't want a prison stay.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service. The Mother's Day bailout of 2017 kicked off a grassroots movement across the United States to raise money for poor people's bail. The U.S. Constitution says bail shall not be excessive, but hundreds of thousands of people stay in jail for weeks, months, or years awaiting trial, even on minor charges, because they can't come up with the sum a judge has required to be set aside until they return to court for trial. Melinda Tuhus covered a Mother's Day bailout rally at the Connecticut State Women's Prison in May of 2018.
1, 2, 3, 4, open up the prison door!
A few days before Mother's Day, a coalition of groups held a spirited rally in a town park adjacent to Connecticut's only women's prison, York Correctional Institution, in the town of Niantic, where more than 900 women were being held. Whenever the ralliers spied correctional officers, they chanted louder, and whenever they spotted a woman prisoner, they shouted words of love and encouragement.
We don't want a prison stay!
Woohoo! Harry and Jackie.
This is the solidarity rally. It's the culmination of the Mother's Day bailout campaign, of grassroots coalition effort to raise money and bring as many women and girls home for Mother's Day and to raise awareness about the abuses women experience inside that freaking cage.
The Connecticut Bail Fund raised $30,000 to bail out 29 women in time to be home for Mother's Day. That included 4 women released from immigration jail.
As of today, we have freed 29 people, 4 from immigration jail,
yes!
And 25 from York Correctional Institution. But there are still nearly 1,000 women and girls incarcerated at York Correctional Institution, and thousands more in immigrant jails across the country. We are here to send a message of love and solidarity with all the women who won't get to go home to their loved ones. Many who may never get to go home at all.
Yes!
Yes!
Here we go!
You got it, Terry.
I got it.
Yes, okay. Do your thing.
Yes, Terry. Give it to him, girl.
Okay, Anna. Anna's up. Anna's part of the Connecticut Bail Fund. Let's go. Give it a hand. Give Anna a hand.
Yes!
How's everyone doing?
All right. Here we go.
Thanks so much for coming out today. I won't take up a lot of time, but I just wanted to thank you so much for being here today and give a little context of why we're here. So for the last month and a half, the Connecticut Bail Fund and about 15 other organizations, SWAN, CT Corps, Make the Road, OOLA, and organizations across the state of Connecticut, CIRA, we've been raising money and organizing to bail out as many women and girls in time for Mother's Day. And as Terry was saying, our goal was to bail out 30, and so far we've bailed out 29. We're bailing out more people tomorrow.
Yeah. Free her!
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 Nearly 1,000 women that are currently incarcerated in this cage, in this state-sponsored cage, that are not going to be able to go home to their loved ones. And so throughout the last couple of months, through the work that we've been doing, and through the stories that some of which you're going to be hearing about today, we've been learning about the human rights abuses that women are experiencing inside this facility. And so we want to stand in love and solidarity, but we also want to shed light into what's happening right here in Connecticut. Some of the abuses that women are experiencing, from sexual harassment to sexual abuse to medical neglect, from immigration agents coming into this facility, impersonating lawyers and tricking people. We want to let people know what's happening inside this facility. And we want to send a message of love and solidarity that we're here, that we love you, that we stand with you, that we're going to fight every single day until all of you come home to your communities.
Yes. Woo!
Next is Melissa. She's going to share her story.
A little nervous, but okay. I've never actually been here in New York, but I've been in county, like West Haven, New Haven, and they don't treat you very nice. And I have three children. I had three children at the time. My two sons passed away 4 years ago. I have a 16-year-old daughter now who saw everything that I did in my life, and I'm trying not to let her follow my path. So now I want to come and help and show my support and
get these girls
home.
Yeah. Come on, you can do it. Yeah. Let it go.
Come on, some hugs.
Now we see you.
1, 2, 3, 4. Open up the prison doors. 5, 6, 7, 8. We don't want a prison state.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Open up the prison doors.
5, 6, 7, 8.
We don't want a prison state.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Open up the prison doors.
5, 6, 7, 8.
We don't want a prison state.
Woohoo! You hear us?
That's right. There you go.
You hear us?
Okay, I want to say that I was in there for 8 days. Those 8 days were stressful. There was a lot of pressure. And I saw the abuse that was being done, especially with the person that has a mental condition.
Yes.
And I agree with myself in the belief that they pressure you to have a mental condition. And this is something that you can unwind well after it was wind, basically. And I think that with the Connecticut Bail Fund Committee, these things can be avoided and fought to be free, to have a free thought process, to be able to have a better living, and to stay out of jail for once or twice or three times or four times or six times or seven times. To stay out of jail is the key. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah. Thank you.
Right. You go, Kim.
Repeat after me. It is our duty to fight for our freedom.
It is our duty to fight for our freedom.
It is our duty to win.
It is our duty to win.
We must love and protect each other.
We must love and protect each other.
We have nothing to lose but these damn chains.
We have nothing to lose but these damn chains.
All right. There's women on the walkway right now.
Oh. Hi, ladies.
Let them know we're here.
Hi, ladies.
Love you.
We're here defending you and your freedom.
Happy Mother's Day!
Happy Mother's Day!
You're not forgotten. We'll never forget you until every
day. You're not forgotten!
And we'll never forget you.
Free her!
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm here today because I want to let the women at York know that for anyone that's in there that is pregnant, you have the right today to not be shackled during transportation.
Woo!
Throughout this past session of the legislation, we have been successful in passing the bill SB 13, which is the Senate Bill 13 for an act of fair treatment for incarcerated women. You are now allowed and supposed to be provided sanitary napkins free of charge. The people that are pregnant, they're not supposed to be handcuffed, shackled during transportation. During pregnancy and during birth, labor and after delivery. So know your rights, ladies. You have that right, and you have to fight for your right. I was in York CI many, many years ago, maybe 3 or 4 times. So today I want to let you know that even though you're behind that wall today, you can be out here tomorrow doing the same thing. And don't forget about the sisters that you leave when you do leave, because they're going to need your help like you need our help today. Amen. Free her!
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 Up, up with liberation, down with incarceration.
Up, up with liberation, down with incarceration.
Up, up with liberation, down, down with incarceration.
Up, up with liberation, down, down with incarceration.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Woo!
Hi, first thank you all who came out today in support of the women today. They need to know that they are cared about and they're loved, because when you're put in a cage, you think no one cares about you. I'm here today because I want to honor the lives, the stolen lives, because that's what happens. Our lives are being stolen, we're put in cages like animals, and then they somehow call it rehabilitation. So I just want to make sure that everyone knows that behind those bars, that we care, and if there's anything that we can do to get you from behind bars, we will be fighting. We will be fighting with legislators to make sure that they make some changes that free these women, that stop putting every social issue behind bars in a cage. We have to continue to fight, because this fight is nowhere near over. Nowhere near over. So understand that. And we have to push our legislators to not continue to pass watered down bills that don't change anything. We have to push them to pass bills that actually mean something. And once those bills are passed, we have to make sure that people are out there making sure that they do what the bill is asking them to do. So for all the women that are inside, please make sure that you understand your rights, as we just explained to you, so that you know when they're violating your rights, and fight back.
Amen. Woo!
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Who's next?
Camille.
My name is Camille Scott Mujahid, and I'm a co-director of CT Community Organizing for Racial Equity, CT Core Organize Now, a Black-led statewide racial justice organization dedicated to to building communities of freedom fighters to dismantle systemic racism in our state. We're here today in solidarity with women caught up in the criminal justice system here in Connecticut and all around this country. There are many people here who can speak to the statistics of mass incarceration, which paint the picture of a deeply unfair, racist, sexist, anti-immigrant, transphobic, and classist system that takes advantage of communities suffering from centuries of exploitation, abuse, and neglect, turning that into yet another money-making enterprise for the 1%. In her recent book, Freedom is a Constant Struggle, Ferguson, Palestine, and the Foundations of a Movement, Angela Davis, one of our greatest living freedom fighters and Black feminist thinkers, states, "In many ways, you can say that the prison serves as an institution that consolidates the state's inability and refusal to address the most pressing social problems of this era." I want to shout out Barbara for raising that. Like, it's a really important point. It's hard to argue with Davis and with Barbara when we look at the way our prisons serve to support racial division, dispossess and separate families and communities of color, and warehouse community members suffering from poverty, addiction, and mental illness. Meanwhile, services to address or manage these issues outside prison walls are chronically underfunded and often challenging or impossible to access. At every turn, the system shows us that it is not here to protect communities or provide pathways to healing and community reconciliation. It is a deeply destructive system, and we can see the impact in our hardest hit communities every day. This is especially clear when cases of domestic abuse and misogynistic and transphobic violence against women end in the incarceration of victims while their abusers walk free. I want to lift up 3 cases in particular that highlight this pattern, one of which happened right here at York.
On Wings, you are listening to a rally recorded a few days before Mother's Day at York Women's Prison in Connecticut in connection with the Mother's Day bailout. Here again is Camille Scott Mujahid.
I want to lift up the name of Centoya Brown. Make some noise if you've heard of Centoya Brown.
Yes! Yes!
Centoya, now age 30, was convicted at age 16 of killing a man to whom she had been sold by a human trafficker against her will. So she's on her way to be freed now, but this is a perfect example of how someone who is so clearly a victim in this case, a 16-year-old child, was locked up for 14 years for defending herself against an abuser. People probably heard of Marissa Alexander as well. I want to lift up her name. A woman who was incarcerated for 3 years, sentenced to 20, and thankfully set free, separated from her small child who had just been born when she was incarcerated, for firing her weapon into the air in self-defense when threatened by her abusive ex. Again, as far as I know, nothing happened to the ex, but she was locked up for 3 years and separated from her child, and of course given no support as a domestic abuse victim in that situation. And the final story that I want to raise up, or the final name I want to mention, is Jane Doe. I know a lot of people have heard the story of Jane Doe, who was locked up right here at York. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know that Jane Doe is not her real name, but people generally identify with that understanding. Jane Doe was a transgender teenager imprisoned at York. In solitary confinement in 2014, Doe had endured a history of abuse within DCF care and outside of it, but rather than receiving the love, support, and healing she deserved, she was incarcerated in an adult prison. Joette Katz, the DCF commissioner at the time, went as far as to openly advocate that Jane Doe remain locked up in an adult prison, quote, until there were changes in her behavior, as Jane Doe advocated for her humanity and just asked that people heard her story and set her free. I want to emphasize the root of the issue here. Our society is built on a foundation of extreme inequality, racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, and ableism. Things are set up in a way that makes life nearly impossible for too many people. Rather than address these issues at their roots, our society criminalizes and pathologizes our hardest hit communities. We often say that the system is broken, but it is important to acknowledge how much of this is actually by design. It is not an accident that prisons are warehousing, concealing, and profiting off of the suffering of Black and Brown communities.
I want to cite
a passage from the autobiography of Asada Shakur, who was also lifted up a moment ago, the Asada chant, so thank you for that, Sister Terry. Describing a conversation she had with a guard while incarcerated and awaiting trial. "Didn't you know that slavery was outlawed?" "No," the guard said, "you're wrong. Slavery was outlawed with the exception of prisons. Slavery is legal in prisons." I looked it up, and sure enough, she was right. The 13th Amendment to the Constitution says, "Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for the crime whereof the party shall be duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction." Well, that explained a lot of things. That explained why jails and prisons all over the country are filled to the brim with Black and third world people, why so many Black people can't find a job on the streets and are forced to survive the best way they know how. Once you're in prison, there are plenty of jobs, and if you don't want to work, they beat you up and throw you in a hole. If every state had to pay workers to do the jobs prisoners are forced to do, the salaries would amount to billions. Prisons are a profitable business. They are a way of legally perpetuating slavery. So what can we do? I want to take this opportunity to recognize everyone who worked to organize this bailout and the women who were released and all of the heartache that they've been through, and I want to recognize your resilience. And the holiday bailout back in December as well. Bailouts have been a powerful tool to challenge the system of mass incarceration and show up for folks victimized by that system since the Black Panthers began doing them in the 1960s and 70s. It is important that we remain in relationship with folks in the system. In addition to bailouts, we can write letters and find ways to provide support to families struggling to pay for phone calls and travel long distances to see relatives. We must continue to fight for reforms that reduce harm to our people inside those walls. We must fight in solidarity with currently and formerly incarcerated people for access to proper medical care, education, and other services that they need inside, as well as strong reentry programs and policy changes like Ban the Box and the restoration of voting rights to help people get back on their feet once they are released.
In addition to that, we must go further and call for an end to mass incarceration. We must start putting more power and resources in the hands of folks living in poverty, living with mental illness, addiction, and suffering from domestic abuse, to participate in imagining and creating programs to address the root causes of these issues and provide support and healing for our communities. We must create community-driven solutions to these issues. In order to do so, we must reckon with capitalism, racism, misogyny, transphobia, and ableism. And finally, we must call for reparations. And that starts with acknowledging the harm caused by mass incarceration and moving through a process driven by the most impacted to identify and deal with the physical, economic, and political impact of this system. Thank you all for your time. Again, I wanted to say free her.
Free her!
Thank you all for being here.
Thank you. Old Jim Crow, new Jim Crow, the whole damn system gotta go. Old Jim Crow, new Jim Crow, the whole damn system got to go. Old Jim Crow, new Jim Crow, whole damn system got to go. I want to share about an experience that I had while I was incarcerated. I was incarcerated from 89 to 99. It's not a nice place to be. The guards harass you, they belittle you, and they try to bribe you, and they abuse you as well. Now, the only way you, and there's no way that you can, you know, fight it because you're on the inside. But now there's new things coming about, new laws, new things that will change this. And we are one of them.
Yes.
We love you, sister.
Free her.
Free her.
Free her.
Free her.
Free her.
Free her.
It's very important that we bring these girls home today, guys. It's very important. We're very important home to bring them home for Mother's Day so that they can spend time with their children.
Hi, my name is Nicole Kennedy. I was just released by the Bail Committee Fund on Friday. This program works.
Amen.
It works. I was picked up on a 2015 warrant and was incarcerated. The Bail Fund Committee came and got me Friday. April 7th, I did a praise dance in order to raise money to bring women home. You would have not told me I would be one of those women. Today, amen. I stand here and I say I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No more bounds, no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's a blessing. Praise the Lord, I'm free. I'm free today to fight for other women that was in there with me, sat with me, 7 days in a medical lockup. You go nowhere for 7 days. You come out that room for an hour of morning rec and an hour of evening rec. Your mental state of mind goes through torment. You don't know when you're getting out. You are a victim of the state. Today, my fear is, I went to court today, and my fear was they could revoke my bond, if they feel like it, and place me back in for heartaches of 3 years ago. My past is my past. Judge me for my present. Because my past, I can't live by that anymore. You tell me to change, you tell me to rehabilitate, then leave my past in my past. And judge me for my presence. And that's why my presence is out here to tell those ladies that watched me leave Friday, I am out here still fighting to get the rest of you out. I will not sit still and I will not be quiet anymore like I was told in those walls. I was told when to speak, when not to speak. And if I spoke, I was told to shut up. I had no value. I had no opinion. I had no say-so. Today, I got a lot to say. You will not treat us the way you have anymore. We have rights. We have the right to fight for what we believe in, and we believe in that these walls will no longer hold us back. Woo. I'm going forward to say thank you to this committee and these people that are out here rallying. Thank you for freeing me. You came and got me, so I need to come back and get the rest of them. Ladies, let's do this.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Go!
justice.
When do we want it?
Now.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
What do we want?
Justice.
When do we want
Vanessa Suarez with Unidad Latina en Acción explained how ICE, or Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the federal agency that arrests immigrants thought to be here without authorization, works with prison officials.
Hey! Woo! Woo!
Suarez.
We're here today in solidarity with incarcerated women at York. We're here to denounce the numerous violations happening in this prison. One of them being the funneling of women into immigrant detention centers. We know that the warden at York has a relationship with ICE. We know that the women at York are being turned over to ICE. We also know that York is illegally permitting ICE officials to enter this prison. These women are being questioned and interrogated without knowledge of who these men are. That is wrong. This illegal behavior is happening at York right now, and it's real. The increase of detention centers under this administration is real, and we're here to denounce these acts and take action. We're here to end the prison to deportation pipeline. We will not stand by and let this government continue to profit off prisons and immigrant detention centers. We're also here to address the other issues happening inside the women at York. We have women that have reported cases of sexual abuse. These women are being taken advantage, abused, and violated. York does not want to address these issues at all. So we're here to say that we see you, we hear you, and we're with you. Let's free them all.
Woo!
Free them all!
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 Free them all! Up next is Beatrice.
Some of the sisters in there never came home. Some of them had life sentences, even though they weren't sentenced to life. And that's because of the horrible, horrible, despicable, terrible, terrible medical treatment that they are died when they could have been saved. And the women who committed suicide because they couldn't take it. And I just want to read a few names. I try to Google the names of the women who committed suicide and died because nobody was there, nobody cared about them. They didn't get the mental health treatment they wanted. They'd rather die than stay another minute in this hellhole. So I have the names. On January 25th, 2016, Cassandra Baker, age 27. Presente! 12-23-16, Monica Piete, age 32. Presente! 8-22-14, Sherry Clark, age 40. Presente!
Presente!
Free her!
Free her!
Free her!
Free her!
The Connecticut Bail Fund raised $30,000 to bail out 29 women in time to be home for Mother's Day.
We see you!
We love you!
We love you!
At York Women's Prison in Connecticut, I'm Melinda Tuhus for Wings.
To hear this program again, email wings@wings.org or check our page at facebook.com/wingsradio. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, author of the book The Gift in the Heart of Language, The Maternal Source of Meaning. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.